Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Astros Baseball. Today we're going to talk about our thoughts on spring training. I guess it's over because they're leaving Florida. They still have to play the Space Cowboys in a couple of exhibition games. So is it really over? Because they're still looking at a couple of guys. But anyway, like I said, welcome to another edition of Astros Baseball. The whole gang is here. Let's start with Steph. How you doing, buddy?
Oh man, doing good. Had a really great day hanging out with some friends who are in from LA, Dodgers fans, but they are the greatest people. So had a really fun time getting some brunch, chatting baseball and chatting life. So it was a good day. Can't complain.
Nice disclaimer, Steph, about the Dodgers being fans actually being good people.
Honestly, they really are, though. Every Dodgers fan I've ever met, they're great.
Yeah, it's nice to see those people actually exist.
I love it.
It's been great this week, and I'm doing my first live remote from Fredericksburg as my girlfriend's daughter just had a gorgeous wedding, and it's been fabulous all weekend. But most importantly, we are turning for home to start the season.
Yeah, it's been a crazy weekend. We own a school, for some people that don't know. And I just had a long list of honeydews because my wife's the boss, right? And so I had a long list of things to do here at the school over the weekend. So my hands have been dirty and I've been busy. But it's great to be here with you guys, as always, talking a little bit of Astros baseball.
I am ready. Ready to talk some Astros baseball. My wife is actually doing a cooking show. And I went to HEB by myself. And I'm telling you this. It went way faster. I got what I needed, and I got out of there. So it was pretty awesome going by.
Did the budget bump up just a little
no.
bit?
Oh, no. I spent like $59.
I can't leave HEB without a Benjamin Franklin. I can't.
I just got the stuff for my lunch.
I love the spaghetti chart of when guys and ladies go to the store. Guys is in and out, and truly the women's path is like a spaghetti chart.
Look, man, I walk through all the aisles. I don't know why you got to be so aggressive about it, Wally, but I got to make sure I'm not forgetting something, okay?
Wally, you've seen the flip side of that one, right?
What's that?
Men, when they go to the fishing tackle shop or Bass Pro Shops or something like that, right?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
the one that looks like the spaghetti charts.
So, you have your own store that you do this.
Charts.
Also, sometimes y'all take that too literally, because I saw a TikTok one time where a lady sent her husband to the store and he basically didn't buy something on purpose because it wasn't on the list, and it caused a ruckus on TikTok, let me tell you. Because people were like, okay, if you think you don't have it, then just ask her, you know, like, what's, like, why? Like, or just get the thing. I think it was like pumpkin or something. And the guy didn't buy the can of pumpkin, which was a specific ingredient necessary for what she was making, and he was like, I don't think we have pumpkin at home, but whatever, she didn't answer, so I'm not gonna buy it. And I'm like, it's $1, bro, like buy the pumpkin.
Steph, you know? I've seen the one where the wife quizzes the husband, right? She says, hey babe, we're gonna have nachos for dinner. I made you a list. I forgot to put or tortilla chips are not on the list. What do you do? Do you buy tortilla chips thinking that she already had some at home? You can't get a hold of her, right? So that's the other
always buy the chips. It's her, two right? extra so. Dollars. What's
you hey, know? It's your dinner too. You need to buy
them. Exactly.
Buy the chips. Yeah. I'm with
buy
you.
The chips, man. It buy the pumpkin, buy now. The chips.
All right. So if anyone listening doesn't know, we both did it last year, but me and Steph will be a team on the PSF app live streaming the Astros games. And we might need a little help from these two guys because between my work schedule, I do a little PA baseball. I did it the other day. It was so fun. It was nerve wracking because I had to do the music too, but I figured it out. But I have a job that I switch days and nights every week. And we got a season ticket holder over here. So it's going to be tough, but we'll be there. Oh, well, I'm talking about on our PSF team.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying.
Well, it counts. We'll let it count.
No, I'm just saying, like, between the two of us, we're going to have a little trouble, but.
Absolutely.
But we do have.
Well, but we're also going to be, live streaming a recap after every game. And I don't know if we've really announced that yet, but that's the plan. And I think Ryan and I, if our schedules can match, we'll try to do one tomorrow night. But certainly he and I are going to be doing the post-game recap after the first game. We figure it's going to be 20, 25 minutes talking about the game, talking about the stars of the game, talking about the upcoming game. And we're really looking forward to that part of the podcast.
It's going to be fun. That's the plan, folks. Every game. And if not every game, then we'll do two games in one, but we will do as many podcasts as we can, recaps. That's our, whoa, look at this. Who dat Clarence says big money season ticket holders over here. They're on the right or that way. Yeah, they're over there. Yeah, the big money season tickets.
It's a business right off now because we're doing this to cover the team.
Okay, speak for yourself, Wally. How dare you?
I think who that Clarence is possibly a Saints fan.
He is a Saints fan, yeah. Originally from New Orleans. That is one of the really good homies. Great person.
Not quite sure what gave that away.
I know.
I was thinking that the other day, that it would be fun to be a Saints fan.
Oh, man.
I've been to a Saints game before in New Orleans, and it's wild. It is so much fun. The before, the after, the during, it is a football experience. Even if you're not a football fan, you know, New Orleans here from Houston, 6 hours-ish, go catch a Saints game. They're fun. New Orleans is fun.
All right, let's get to spring training. We got to wrap it up. I'll tell you this, today's the first game I watched.
Really?
I got the alert, said that that's the first and only game, and so only thing I can wrap up to start things with is Hunter Brown looked like a stud. And
Hunter Brown is a stud.
Joe Espada said it's good that he looked like a stud because we are definitely going to need him. Wally, what's your thoughts there wrapping up spring training, pal?
Well, spring training has been very successful. Pretty much an unqualified success. We've dodged the bullets of major injuries. We talked on the last pod about why they didn't go out and get Lorenzen or Clevinger, and it's because it appears they believe that the Dana and the staff believe that JV and Urquidy are going to be ready. Hunter Brown's been really good. Don't be surprised if we see Hunter Brown be the number two on this staff by the end of the season. You know, he's got the stuff. He looks like he's got the makeup. And when you compare him and Fromber, their stuff is both excellent. The question we have is with Fromber's makeup, can he do it every game? Now, we know he can because he did 25, 26 quality starts in a row. But then he can also throw two or three clunkers in there too. And as we've talked before, we've got 20 games in 21 days, and the staff has to be consistent all to start the season.
Ryan.
It's been an interesting spring with some of the pitching injuries, some of the standout players. I mean, Blanco has had a great spring. I think that's going to end up being his ticket. into the show, which is going to be interesting to see because he's the guy that's kind of halfway in between being fully stretched out as a starter and being your easy to rely on long relief guy. So I think Blanco is going to be one to watch, especially considering some of the injuries to the pitching rotation. Dubon had a heck of a spring training. Jake Myers had a heck of a spring training. We're going to get into the injuries in a little bit, but with his hand getting hit, what does that really mean for Dubon potentially starting in center field or getting some extra reps in center field? Greggy with a really good spring training. I think we all expected that knowing he's going into his free agent season. It's just been a really good spring training despite, you know, I think what we said is they came up one game short of 500 for spring training and going back to the Brooks Gate statistics saying that those who had a 500 or better score have a better chance of making the postseason. I think the Astros are one of the few exceptions to that rule, perhaps. But I think overall, spring training has been really good. Coming into it, most of us said, you know, hey, look, we're not expecting to see a whole lot of things that we don't already know because the makeup of the team was pretty well set. Obviously, some of the pitching injuries changed a little bit of makeup there and what that's going to look like. But I think it's a spring training that most of us somewhat expected, with a few really good, awesome, bright spots. Seeing some of the minor league guys like Lou Perfitto and Eric Geddy have really good springs. So a lot of fun to catch up and really kind of see where spring took us into the season here.
Yeah, I agree. I think this spring training was super exciting for the Astros. I think it was one of those moments where, again, the Astros don't have a ton of holes to fill, but to see a lot of these guys that are going to be future Astros that are going to be those guys that come up once some of these guys either go away or their contract isn't extended, things like that. I think it was really exciting for just Astros fans to get a little bit more in tune with some of who like these guys are. I'm a huge proponent of the minor league system. I think that although I feel like they do put us at the bottom of the rankings pretty often, there are so many guys in this system that are going to be ready, are going to be the next guy up. And one thing that I saw recently was the new Astros social account, Astros Player Dev, which is such a cool thing. It's an account dedicated to the minor league system to get you to know who these guys are. And I'm so excited for that account because that's something that I've maybe missed out on the past few years. I mean, when I worked in the minor leagues, it was a lot easier to follow the minor league guys. And even when I first started, you know, living in Houston, working for the Astros, I still knew who George Springer was. I knew who Altuve was. And I knew some of the guys that maybe people weren't 100% like knowledgeable. And I would say like, hey, have you heard of this guy? And they're like, no, who's that? And I'd say, trust me, it's a guy you want to watch, you know? And so to have this new social media account that is very intent on making sure that Astros fans know who is coming up through the system, I think is so exciting. We got to see a lot of these guys in spring training and, you know, it's going to be exciting to see them in the future. I'm super hyped. I think again, even though we were maybe one game short of 500, we did have a couple games that got rained out, that got canceled, postponed, whatever. So although again, the Brooks Gate, you know, model may say that this team probably won't go to the postseason. I have a lot of high hopes that we absolutely will. And that, again, we're going to be kind of one of those teams that's not going to apply to 100%. But again, I think it's awesome to see these guys winning the last few games of the season and pretty aggressively in some of these games. Today was 9-4. Yesterday, 13-5 against the Mets. And so it's exciting to see them kind of coming out and really commanding their presence, with the last few days of spring training. And I think that that's the team that we're going to see on Thursday. And I can't wait for the beginning of the season.
We've talked about the game, but game inside the game, which is really, important to look at it, the 13-5 and the 9-4 is the first 5-6 innings of the game.
Absolutely.
You know, the game, what you had the first six innings, it was 9-0 or 9-1. Mm-hmm. Today it was day before it was 6-1. You know, the guys that are A players are coming out and getting big leads against their A players. Remember last week they had two games in a row where the A team came out and scored four runs in the first inning of each of those games. The team looks ready.
All right. So my spring training wrap up. And today I watched a game and they were blowing them out. And I don't even remember the kid's name, but they put this really young kid in who couldn't find the strike zone. And that's kind of when the other team started blowing us up. But I think there's a few spots left on the roster. Joe Espada, they talked to him in the dugout today, said, we have these two games at Minute Maid Park. I think I have a good idea of who's going to be on the team, but I still want to see them play at Minute Maid Park. There's not going to be any surprises. It's not going to be Lo Perfido, who's a stud. It's not going to be any of these rookies that we'd like to go see because, honestly, they're not going to be starters. So, I'd rather them go play than sit on the bench and play once a week, pinch hit once every 2 weeks. But Dubon, what can you say about Dubon? He hit over 400. I think it's 440. I don't know what it is, but the guy's ridiculous.
Insane.
Somebody spoke about it already. Alex Bregman looks really good. Had a couple of, what was it, three-run bombs?
Two three-run bombs yesterday.
Yeah, and he said this is it. It's not really only the contract year. He said this is my first year to come in healthy, where I didn't have some kind of injury. I didn't have some kind of surgery in the off season. So I think he's gonna have a great year, and the Astros might have to spend some money, or we might just have to watch him do a lot. But I got a quote from Lo Perfido, the star of spring training. I don't know if he's upset that he didn't make it, but he said, I did everything they wanted me to do. So, like we said earlier,
I think Espada said the same thing, really. Yeah, I think he said that this, that kid came up and did everything that we wanted him to do. I think, what's happening is he's going to go down and take some reps at first base in Sugarland. I think there's a little bit of a glimpse into the future there with a statement such as that. I mean, the kid hit 1.076 OPS
for spring. That's crazy.
34 at bats, 13 hits, and 7 RBIs. All of that in 34 at bats. And I think I also saw that about 70% of that was against major league pitchers, not other minor league guys. So the guy had just a heck
of a spring. He's definitely a stud. We got another comment. Who Dat Clarence is all over it today. He says, I really feel that middle relievers need to step up in a major way. What if the offense sputters like they did last year at times? And that's really true.
It's fair.
Yep. Well, and offenses are gonna sputter from time to time. That's the nature of the game. That's why they talk about offense goes up and down, defense plays every day.
Yeah,
Clarence makes a good point on the middle relievers. The starters are not going to go 7 innings every night. The days of 1960, 65, when, you'd get 25 complete innings out of your top three guys, just doesn't complete games out of the year, just doesn't happen anymore. So Blanco is going to have to step up. You've got a whole bunch of guys that are going to have to step up.
Man, we are getting all the comments today too. We also have
got more.
Bad Luck Brian.
Look at there. Bad Luck Brian.
We love it.
Yeah, there's more.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah. So the middle reliever thing. Let me touch on that first. Like we have CJ, right? He doesn't get very far, so we've got to hold it together to get to the end. So I think that's a very good comment, Clarence. Very okay. Go to Bad Luck Brian again.
Got Bad Luck Brian. Lo Perfido should definitely be called up before too long. I think we can all agree that that's...
We all do.
It's going to happen for sure. And Junior saying first baseman of the future will definitely be giving Abreu days off this season. Personally, I hope not. I hope that Abreu comes in and is finally fully healthy in his second season with the team and that he's crushing it. But hey... If we can give Abreu some days off and have another guy who can come in and do the job, I'm not going to be mad at that either.
Abreu's going to dominate.
I think that comment speaks more about Singleton than it does Abreu.
Fair.
You know, Lo Perfido going down and taking reps at first base is absolutely the contingency plan for Singleton, not having the kind of season that they hope he's going to have.
Well, and also with Lopez Fido, if there's anything that's been the knock on him so far, is that he really hasn't established himself in a position. You know, he's a decent outfielder. They talked about him playing second base as Fido's, you know, he's a fringy defender at second base. You know, he played first base at Duke. So it's kind of a coming home for him. And it's certainly, you know, in corporate terms, it's a succession plan.
All right. Y'all got anything else to add before we go to injury updates? I don't have too many injury updates. So whoever's got the tea on the injury updates, go ahead.
Yeah, the only thing, we haven't heard anything new on JV. Haven't heard anything on new on Arcidi. And we knew that Myers did not break his hand. How long he's going to be out is a separate issue. But it doesn't sound like he's going to go on the DL. Have y'all heard anything about Kessinger other than he ran?
No. He took some ground balls yesterday or today.
Yeah, he did resume baseball activities per reports as of today. Yep. So that's super exciting. With Jake Myers, obviously, having a negative negative x-ray is a good thing and hopefully should get him back soon because, I mean, he had a great spring training this year. And I think that's something that's super exciting for Astros fans who were hoping Jake Myers could be that guy in center field. And I think this spring training was his moment to prove that. And he did exactly that. Espada put his trust in Jake Myers and he delivered. And I think that that's super exciting. And with JV, he did do his live batting practice session, felt really good. So, I mean, things are looking good for JV, which is always exciting. To get him back as soon as humanly possible, never a bad thing. So he's supposed to throw another live BP session on either Monday or Tuesday. So either tomorrow or the next day here in Houston, and may need one or two more before he actually gets out on the mound. So he'll have to do a minor league stint probably just to make sure he is truly ready for the season. But overall, it's looking like hopefully we will have JV back in short order, which will be super exciting. So everything is looking very positive on the injury front compared to how it could have been, especially with that Jake Myers hit by pitch. So super exciting stuff there, which is awesome.
Can you imagine where we were at this point last year coming into the season? We're in good shape.
Exactly.
And you talk about, we talk about our starting pitching being a question mark. Can you imagine what the question mark would have been if we're talking about two guys out for 6 months, you know, pulling a Garrett Cole?
I was going to say that we have injuries and our first series is against the Yankees. And I believe they don't have Garrett Cole. So we traded one for one there. So hopefully, I think JV's not going to be out that long. That's my guess.
What do y'all think? 15th of April, you think he comes back after that?
Yeah, I think it'll be a 15 day IL stint.
Yeah.
He'll go down. He'll go and take a couple of rehab starts in Sugar Land and he'll be ready mid-month.
Oh, I was waving at Jay. I was waving at Bad Luck Brian. That we'll get
I was about
comment.
To say.
I didn't want to talk. So this was a question that we have ourselves, right? Where we talk about it because Chaz is supposed to be our center fielder, but they said Jake's going to be the center fielder. And then they say that Jordan's going to play a lot of left field. So what does that mean for Chaz? And our boy here, Ryan, says that he struggles the longer he plays. So maybe he doesn't need to be playing every day. That's what Ryan thinks, right, pal?
Well, I think leveraging Chaz in a smart and effective manner, according to the analytics, is what we're going to see out of Joe Espada, right? It's not what we saw from Dusty. We didn't see any of that from Dusty. God bless his soul. But I think Espada coming into the season, look, there wasn't much of a question at all from the get-go that Jake is going to start in center field. I think there was some rumblings internally that said, we're going to look at the analytics, we're going to look at the numbers, and we're going to start off there first because we know what these guys are capable of. We've got everything to show where they play well, where they don't, how many times Jake started against right-handers when he should have started against the left-hander, and vice versa. Chaz hits the right-handers better and started against the left. Anyway, it was one of those things that I think led Espada to make this decision. And yeah, looking at Chaz's 50-day WCR plus, you know, rolling average, anytime that he gets really over 15 games or 15 days without a rest, he sees a drop in his WCR plus, WRC plus. So I think that if we're looking at the team's ability to kind of get back into some of those analytics that maybe went a little to the wayside while we were under the dusty rain, this is a decision that was probably made based on some of those metrics. And then going into the season, reevaluating that as we see how performance goes. But Chaz is a prototypical corner outfielder. He's not a center fielder. He doesn't have a great jump on the ball. He's got a good sprint speed, which is why he can make some of the plays that he makes well. But Chaz is not really his best at center field. I think that he's a really good left fielder. So him sharing time and giving Yordan days off is probably a really smart play. He'll still play center field, I guarantee it. And I think that this allows Dubon to also focus on giving Altuve the time off that he's probably going to need and just focusing more on the infield. We'll probably still see him in the outfield from time to time. Heck, maybe even they'll give him starts in right to let Tucker have a few days off this season as well. So it'll be interesting to see what Espada really does with this. But coming out and saying from the get-go that Jake is our guy in center field, I think was pretty bold. You can really only attribute that to they're using the metrics to make this decision at the start of the season.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Anything else?
I think too, just the fact that Espada put his, you know, full trust in Jake is a huge testament to Jake's abilities. I mean, we saw Jake have really incredible seasons before his shoulder injury where he hit the wall. And so you saw those glimpses of what Jake could be. And I definitely think it's going to be exciting to see him have that job from the get-go and see what he can do with it. You know, like you said, obviously Chaz may not be the best in center field. He's had some moments where he's made incredible plays, incredible catches that have, you know, I mean, really done great things for the team, won us a World Series, I would even say. But to have a guy that is that everyday guy, I think that's going to be huge. And I think that Jake Meyers is up for that challenge. And this could be his year to really do that. So super excited to see what that brings.
Yeah,
it's interesting seeing the difference between Dusty and Espada. It's like Espada was the loyal lieutenant that didn't say anything. He supported Dusty. I don't think there's any manager that's won more games and frustrated more people than Dusty. I mean, the guy Dusty won 2,183 games more than everybody on this podcast and listening combined. So he does something right, but he could frustrate exactly. The daylights out of everybody. But listening to some comments that Crane has said and looking at the actions that Espada has done, it seems to be that Espada had a clear idea of things he wanted to change, and he's gone about changing them.
So I was going to say that if you go back in history, when we first heard of Jake Meyers, when he first got out there, the dude was so good, and then he ran into the wall, and everything changed, and everybody fell in love with Chaz. So hopefully he turns back into that guy, and I don't think we'll forget about Chaz because we love him, but you know the saying, he'll make you forget about Chaz.
Versatile though. And that's where I think that the love for Chaz that instead of people just pigeonholing him into, oh, he's the center fielder. I think Chaz is versatile. Like he can give Tucker time off and right as well.
Yeah.
That's something that Jake's not really as versatile. Jake covers center field well, and isn't near as versatile as Chaz. So I think that's the benefit that Chaz has, and that will have him being a, you know, pretty much everyday player because he'll be able to give Yordan days off. He can give Jake days off. He can give Tucker days off. He can do much more, which I think is to the benefit of the team really when looking at utilizing players in their best.
Also, when we talk in this version of the James Click appreciation spot, we got Jake to start playing because he traded Miles Straw for Yiner Diaz and Phil Maton, and we saw what happened this week with Miles Straw. He got cut, and the Guardians are gonna owe him a ton of money. Straw's seniority does not allow him to take the money and run. He's going to have to go down to AAA, and so he doesn't give up all of his cash.
Wow.
But that's, you know, little deals that don't seem like a big deal, but can turn out to be huge deals. You know, essentially, we got 3-for-1 out of that deal.
All right. So, Ryan, I didn't mean like you're going to forget about him. I'm just talking about like he's our center fielder. That's what I meant.
You said you said, Rob. Stand by.
Yeah, but that's not what I meant. But like, but you're so true. Because he's going to be our left fielder when Yordan's DHing.
Now,
when Tucker needs a day off, he doesn't get very many. He can fill in there, or maybe Tucker's DHing that day. I think he's going to get a lot of playing time. He's just not going to be the starting center fielder like people wanted.
Yeah.
Also, apologies if y'all hear chaos in the background of my situation. My cat has decided to just hit everything off of this little fun little nook over here. So.
I didn't know who it was.
It was my cat, actually. It wasn't me, technically. Just want to put that out there. He's orange, though, so it makes up for it.
Yes.
Is his name Garfield?
It's Jackson, but he is just... Actually, he's more chaotic than Garfield. Garfield just hangs out and eats lasagna. Jackson attacks everything.
Hey, that's pretty good for a millennial, Steph, I have to say, knowing about Garfield.
I'm not that young, but I'm not that old, you know? A little bit of both. I'm right in between.
Yeah, Steph, now we're going to ask you to do a book report on Satchel Paige and see how you can go back.
Hey, I went to the museum out in Kansas City, so I know all about
Satchel
Paige.
Is it cool? I need to do that.
Oh, man. It's amazing. Let me tell you. An experience that everyone should do. I always say that baseball fans should always go to spring training. And I also think the Negro League Museum is such an incredible experience. So two things that baseball fans should do aside from just watching your team every day. It gives you so much context and history, and you get to really see the story of how, you know, baseball became what it is today, and what it should have been from the beginning. So, amazing.
The Astros were playing the Royals last year in the summer when I was on vacation, and that was one of the places we were thinking about going, so we could watch the Astros play and also check out the museum. And
Rob, we could have watched games together because that's where I was that weekend that they played the Royals. I was there, and it was amazing.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, so let's start with Steph again. Opening day preview. What do you have to say about opening day?
Gosh, I think it's one of those things that it feels like Christmas morning. When you wake up on Thursday, it's going to be exciting because everything feels new. I personally took a half day, and then I got a meeting put on my calendar at work at noon. And I messaged my boss and was like, hey, I declined this meeting because I have a half day. And I was afraid that she was going to be like, oh, your half day starts at one or something crazy. And she was like, oh, my God, I forgot. Sorry. Enjoy. Granted, oh, wow. She doesn't know I took a half day for opening day, but shh, no one tell
yeah,
her.
You didn't don't tell the truth and get you in
really,
trouble.
I know, really putting myself on blast today. So I'm super excited for opening day. I think the start of a new season, it just feels fresh and exciting. And, you know, I think it's going to be an amazing year. I think Rob, you put out a fun little TikTok that everyone absolutely loved, only got positive feedback from what I could see about the Astros going to the World Series again this year. And I mean, with the starting pitching that we have, I mean, we have such a great rotation right now. We have an incredible lineup. I mean, we talk about the golden era of Astros baseball getting close to an end. But then you see some of these guys coming up like Loper Fido, like Arrigetti. I mean, there are still so many guys in the pipeline that can keep this thing going. So I think that this is going to be a really exciting year for the Astros to really prove themselves and show that the golden era ain't over. So I can't wait till Thursday. I will be working from downtown as early as humanly possible because I'm trying to get that street parking that's like $10 for the day and not the $75 parking that's like three blocks down from Minute Maid, you know? But I think it's going to be an awesome season. I mean, I think what the guys did during spring training really just put us in a great position. All of our starters look like they are really just vibing in the right way. So I think it's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I can't wait for Thursday. I may go tomorrow or the next day. Because I do have tickets to that now. So look at me go. So we'll see if I end up there on either Monday or Tuesday. And I probably will go at least one of the games against the Space Cowboys because why not, you know? Let's see the team before they're ready on Thursday and get a feel for what this season could be.
Wally.
You know, it's similar to what we've all been talking about. Steffi's is absolutely right. It does feel like you're opening that first present. You know, when baseball season starts, it seems like, you know, spring is truly here. The Astros have given us so many good reasons to get excited about the season. This should be no different. We're going to see new players come up. We're not going to see a rookie on the team right now. Loper Fido might come up during the year. It depends on him. But this sets this up to be a really veteran crew who's been through the wars before. They're not going to get unraveled if you lose a game or two in a row. You know, they've had starts that were not great, and then they've come back and gone on a run. You know, when I look at the division, Seattle still seems to be the one that I'm most worried about. That starting staff is really, really good. Their lineup is okay, but if you don't have to score many runs, you know, it's a lot easier to win and relax. But I think the Astros are primed for, you know, 90-95 win season again this year with Seattle close behind and the Rangers a few behind. The Rangers are, we talked a cast or two ago, they're a pitcher or two short. You know, Michael Lorenzen doesn't tickle my toes.
That'd be really weird. So it's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Tickle my toes.
Yeah, Michael Lorenzen
on the Rangers does not scare me at all. It's still he's a guy and he'll pitch to a 5 ERA, same as the other guys they've got.
Wally, you just say things sometimes that I feel like I have to use in my everyday life, and I will be stealing that from you. Don't worry, I'll give you credit. I'll be like, per Wally. But no, I'm stealing.
Yeah, you know, trademarks are expensive.
That's Wally is.
That's why you just got to give a shout out and call Wally it a day, is. You know?
opening day. Oh, man. I mean, the Yankees are in town. Fromber's on the bump. Like, just, you know, okay, so maybe if JV would have been on the bump, it would have been a little better. Maybe, I don't know. But, you have to say, does it get any better than that, right? I mean, all the guys are healthy, position player-wise, right? Okay, maybe Jake won't play opening day. Who knows? But when you look at the core of this group that have been with this team through all of these winning seasons, and to get to 2024 opening day, Fromber on the mound, the Yankees are in town with, you know, Soto and Judge and, you know, just the whole, everything that surrounds it. It's euphoric. It's so cool. We've been waiting for this since November, and it's here. The weather's beautiful. Hopefully they'll open the roof at Minute Maid a few times and let Aaron Boone fuss about the wind a little bit more in the post-game interviews. Anyway, it's great to see that, this team is put together really, really well. I still think that there's a lot of people underestimating this team, underestimating the rotation, despite some of the injuries. And I think that it's another season that the Astros are just going to break a ton of hearts. And I'm here for it, baby.
I agree with you. So looking at opening day, is Yordan still going to bat second? Is that experience? That's what it is?
Sure looks that way, doesn't it?
I think so, like. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to
Tucker potentially batting third.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Spada said he wants to play with the left behind left. Play there and potentially bat Tucker third as well. So go lefty then lefty. So
wow,
we'll see.
Damage Incorporated. You gotta love it.
They both hit lefties real well. So it's not like you're giving up a split.
Yep. Also, Alex Bregman. They showed the stat today on the game how good he is. It showed his batting average and then batting average with a runner on base. And he's so good.
So good.
I think hitting fourth. The chances of him, you know, versus hitting second, the chances of him getting to hit with someone on. But I'm looking at this lineup, and I really love it. I mean, you have someone like Yiner Diaz probably in the sixth spot, and this kid's going to rake 30 home runs this year. Chaz, JP3, Jake. It's tough. It's going to be a good lineup. I'm looking forward to Framber going out there dominating and then get it to the back. I want to see – well, we won't get to see Abreu the first two games, but I can watch him Saturday. But to see Presley, Hader, shut the door, and just people be like, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Well, we got another comment. Let's see what you guys think about this. Bad luck Brian's all over it today. Are you guys worried about the Rangers once they get Scherzer and DeGrom back? No. They're just going to get hurt again.
No. Yeah, I was going to say DeGrom gets 15 innings and he'll go on the DL for a sprained hangnail.
It's IL.
I still love the sprained hangnail.
I forget about the sprained hangnail
until it comes back. Oh, man. Yeah, you know, Scherzer, I think, will give them, you know, he'll give them some innings. So it might take some weight off of, you know, Lorenzen, and it might make the effectiveness of him being on the team. I don't know. DeGrom, look, DeGrom quite possibly has the best stuff we've seen in 20 years out of a pitcher, but he can't stay healthy. So I don't have any confidence that DeGrom and Scherzer are going to do anything to really bolster the Rangers to the point that we need to be worried about them. No.
Yeah.
Same thing with Garcia and Lance come back, you know. Our Lance McCullers is there to Grom. You know, whatever you get from him is found money. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hate to say it because, you know, Lance has such a reputation of being just a really great guy and a good team player. And you hope that it comes out and he he can find a spot and be a productive. You know, if he did nothing else, throwing 22 curveballs in a row against the Yankees in 2017 to close out that series was epic. You know, Garcia's coming back from a Tommy John, same thing as DeGrom, and Scherzer with his backs are just impossible to tell how they're gonna work. You've got to expect all four of the guys to help on the margin, but to think they're going to come back and be your savior is a big ask.
Yeah, I think something that I said last year too is with the Rangers, aside from their pitching staff, it felt like they never went through a lot of the crazy injuries that you see to like some of your key position players. And we had a lot of that last year. I think had we had a healthy Altuve, had a healthy Yordan for the entirety of the season, I think it wouldn't have been nearly as close at the end of the season with us winning the division by default a little bit. I think we would have ran away with it a little bit more. That's not to say that I don't think the Rangers are a great team, but I mean, like Wally said earlier, I'm a little bit more afraid of the Mariners than anybody. I think that they could be that dark horse of the division, that they have such a great pitching staff. If they get it together and if they can really start firing on all four cylinders, like they're going to be the ones to be a little bit more afraid of compared to the Rangers.
So that's the difference between us and them. They'll fire on four cylinders. We'll fire on eight.
Hey man, once we get some of these guys back from the injured list, cause I mean, we had two pitchers go down in back-to-back games. I think it was Garcia and Urquidy that went in back-to-back games. I was there at both and I was so sad. Both of those days, you know, to have guys like that. And we didn't even have JV last year at the beginning of the season. The Mets had him. Yeah. And then we got him on August 1st, the day that Fromber throws his no-hitter and is like, nah, I'm still a part of this team. You're not going to pretend like I'm not here. And, you know, for him to throw that no-hitter the same day that we got JV back was crazy, insane. I was there. I cried so much. Let me tell you guys. I said I would never cry over baseball again. And happiest tears of my life to see a no-hitter in person. But
there's no crying in baseball.
There's so much crying in baseball, yeah. Ryan. How dare you? You did. Yeah, I know. Fair point. But no, I mean, again, while I think the Rangers are a great team, I am much more terrified of the Mariners. If they get firing on like all cylinders, it's gonna be a lot harder. So definitely gonna be interesting to see.
I think the difference in this year's Rangers team and last year, one thing, their lineup's good.
It's good, yeah.
They got a great mix of veterans and young kids. They look like mm-hmm. the Astros when the Astros were coming up.
100%.
But the difference is they have all these injury-prone pitchers, and they're not going to spend crazy money rebuilding it at the trade deadline. I read this story about it, and they did it because they were trying to win a World Series, and now that they've done it, they're like, well, I'm not going to do that again.
Are they going to do it again? Probably
no,
not.
No, I don't think so.
No.
We got another one.
I love this.
Last
I saw
question.
That pop up.
Last question. Bad luck, Brian. I think we talked about... Whoa. There he has two. He has... No, where's it at? Did I show this one? The one about Chaz. All right, let's go to this last one. Bad luck. This is the Bad Luck Brian show. We appreciate you.
I'm here for it. Give me all the comments you got.
We've been hoping the entire spring training that people would get on here and comment, and it is fun. Last question. He promises, LOL. Is this the best lineup the Astros have had since 2019? I'm going to have to think about it. Anybody got anything they can quickly say about that?
Well,
the only thing that I can add is that 22, in my opinion, still gives 19 a run for its money. And I think that 22 might have been the better lineup than 19. First, statistically, it was, first of all. But talent-wise and strength-wise,
I say this year.
I might have to think about that, but this year's pretty strong. If Jay continues what he's doing and can do what he did during that April, May time of last year when Chaz was was down with his hurt back. He's the best nine hitter in all of baseball. This may be the strongest lineup the Astros have ever put together.
I think it is.
What do you think, Steffi?
I was going to wait for you, Wally. I want to hear what you have to say. You always got the stats, man.
Well, you know, I'd break it down to be pretty simple. It's Diaz or Maldi. Rest of them kind of wash out. You know, if you think Maldi's Diaz is a better hitter than Maldi, you know, you got a lot of the same parts as in 24 as in 22. And, you know, Maldi's on the interstate, you know, hitting 195 or whatever he's doing. And you got Diaz, who's probably going to hit about, you know, let's say Diaz hits 260 and hits 25 home runs and gets 75 knocks. That's positive numbers.
Absolutely.
Caratini is, you know, the backup we had, Caratini's better than the backup we had back then too.
Yeah. When you think about our outfield then, you know, Marisnik wasn't a hitter to go home, you know, to write home about. Chirinos at catcher wasn't, you know, he was better than Maldi, but for the majority of that season, you know, he hit what, 230, 220, yeah, maybe. Yuli had a heck of a year. Altuve, Correa, Bregman, Uncle Mike, Jake Marisnik, Josh Reddick, and Yordan. Springer, Tyler White. Yeah, I mean, we had Aledmys Diaz as your utility guy. You had Kemp in there. Straw came up after a while. I don't know. I still think that this year, potentially, I mean, we'll see how they perform.
Yeah, but they got to do it.
I pulled up a couple of lineups because I can't even remember back that far. I'm too old. Springer, Altuve, Brantley, Bregman, Yuli Gurriel, Yordan, Correa. So they got Carlos Correa batting seventh. And then they have Chirinos catching and then Josh Reddick batting ninth. It's a pretty good lineup.
It is a really good lineup. I will say, I almost feel like a lot of the 2019 lineup maybe like overperformed past what we maybe thought they would. And I think even with them overperforming compared to this lineup here, even them just going average to what we think they're going to do. I mean, overall, it's so much more balanced. You have a lot of guys. I feel like in 2019, we were still a little bit in that era of trying to have a lot of big hitters that were going to hit a ton of home runs. And I feel like this lineup, you have a really good balance of guys that are going to get on base, get the walks, but then they're also going to hit home runs, you know? And I think that that's the biggest difference is it's the balance. It's what they're going to bring to the table on a daily basis and not the, hey, are they going to overperform and be better than back then? You know, because these guys, even at their average, I think just are going to be such an incredible lineup. I think it's by far, I mean, in my opinion, one of the best in baseball by far. So I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. All right. With that said,
the 2019 team, real quick, finished the season with an 848 OPS.
It's pretty good.
That's pretty solid. Legit. You know, 22, I was wrong. They hit a 743 OPS. So OPS plus was a little bit closer, but the 2019 team is going to be hard to beat. If there is one in recent history that can outdo 2019, it could be this year for sure.
Great.
I agree. All right. It is time for final thoughts. Let's start with Ryan.
Ooh. My final thoughts.
Ooh.
I made a couple of notes here. I'm not going to go into all the details, but maybe some of y'all have been watching what's going on with the Major League Players Association, the union, as most of us know. It's not a lot of fun stuff. And when you consider that we're I guess two seasons technically at the end of 2026, going to be renegotiating the CBA. Apparently the executive subcommittee has tried to oust the chief negotiator for Major League Baseball Players Union. And so this is going to be something that'll be interesting to watch. Of course, there's plenty of time for for them to figure out their stuff before everything really starts to come to a head in the negotiation of the new CBA. But it's really interesting to see that Boris is obviously sticking his nose in there. Tony Clark, who's the head of the association and the union, is coming out in support of his guys. And so anyway, there's just a lot of really interesting factions that are starting to build inside of the players union, and maybe a little bit of infighting that could be putting the players at a little bit of a disadvantage possibly going into the CBA negotiations. So just interesting to watch some of that come down. So keep your eyes open for news that's coming out about the union and some of the infighting and the factions that are growing inside of those.
Wally.
Yeah, Ryan, that's a great point. People, we talk about Manfred and how much we dislike him as a commissioner and so many things, but give the man credit. He's a crackerjack labor negotiator. I mean, what he did with the CBA on the owner's side is incredibly good. Mm-hmm. I had a couple of them, couple of quick ones. We've been talking about the Astros and what they're going to do. My kind of hot take for the year is I think the St. Louis Cardinals are going to have a terrible year. They're going to have to tear it up. I think you're going to see Mozeliak gone. You're going to see a whole total breakdown of that whole baseball organization. Just take a look. Don't want need to go into it too much now, but they brought pitchers in who are just names, and they're just going to get lit up. And you look at every time the Astros have played them A against A, it's been 9-1. Kind of a lighter take on the Shohei Ohtani interpreter thing. Sean Salisbury had a great tweet, and I'll just leave it like this. It says, no matter how this Ohtani gambling interpreter gambling saga thing plays out, one thing is a straight fact with no argument. They're terrible sports bettors.
Hey, you heard there's an insider as far as like in the betting community that says that there could potentially be up to $25 million worth of bets with Ohtani's name attached to them. So just to throw that.
But he's going to go full Sergeant Schultz on the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that is, crazy. Steffi?
No idea. Still a millennial, Wally, okay?
Yeah, he goes, one of the great sitcoms was a World War II based sitcom called Hogan's Heroes. John Banner mm-hmm. played Sergeant Schultz, who would see something that the prisoners were up to, and he'd say, "I know nothing.
I know nothing. I know nothing."
Classic.
Go,
I love it.
Go, Steffi, go look for a YouTube.
I'm gonna have
on
to
it.
Go on YouTube hilarious. For sure. I was about to say I'm gonna have to go to YouTube to watch.
Oh, you
got to
do a YouTube on it. It was truly. It was one of the epic.
That's
funny,
amazing.
Funny sitcoms.
Oh, I love
it. I'm honestly surprised that we never saw Dusty do that. I know nothing.
I know. Injury updates. I know nothing. I know nothing.
I know nothing.
I love it. Oh, man. My final thought. So I had a really cool weekend. Actually got to go to the ballpark yesterday, which was an awesome experience. A friend had a work event out there. We actually got to do some hitting in the batting cages. We got to throw some pitches in the bullpen, which was awesome. And got to just see the ballpark right before opening day, which always feels nice. The roof was open. It was a gorgeous day. It was awesome. But one of my favorite things was I got to meet Josh Reddick. And first of all, let me say that Josh is exactly who you think he would be like when you meet him in person. Just the nicest dude, so fun, like so willing to talk to people. And it was awesome. So we got to spend a little bit of FaceTime Woo! With him. Woo! My favorite banana ball player of all time, obviously off of the Savannah Bananas, as he did make an appearance. But no, I got a really great selfie with him. I actually got his autograph on the back of my phone case, but my fingers are grimy and it is gone now. So a little sad about that, but I got a selfie, which he told me I better put it on the story. And I was like, Josh, already on it, man. Come on. But one thing I did tell him was that obviously I worked for the team in 2017. So I said, hey, Josh, by the way, I worked for the team in 2017. So thanks for my ring as well, because he was wearing his. And he looked at my fingers and went, and you didn't even wear it today? So I got called out by Josh Reddick yesterday. And I said, look, Josh, I forgot it and I apologize. but why'd you have to call me out? But no, it was awesome. It was so cool getting to meet him in person. We got to see Orbit. It was amazing. Oh my gosh. Yes. We also got to see the manual scoreboard. Bad luck. Brian just brought it up, man. It was so cool.
Getting to go inside there.
Yes. It was so cool to see the inside of that. It was really cool. Obviously a very unique experience, which was awesome. And our tour guide was amazing. And actually one of, it was four friends of ours that got to go to this event, because of my friend's company, and all four of us knew one of the guys that was helping us with our tour. So we were just giving him hell the entire time. And he was like, I am about to kick all four of y'all out because y'all are driving me crazy. So we're in the press conference room and I'm like, yeah, I should take this picture, right? And my friend Junior, who commented earlier, was like, yeah, you should. And I said, yeah, Roy said I could do it. And Roy was like, I absolutely did not say you could do that. And I was like, I'm going to tell him you said I could, though. So we had a great time. It was awesome getting to see the ballpark before opening day. And I can't wait till Thursday, man. It's going to be such a fun season. I think it's going to be awesome. And we're going to get to be a part of it all year long, with our post-game stuff, like Wally mentioned earlier. So I think that's going to be an amazing part. Obviously, Rob and I are going to get to do a lot more shows. So, man, y'all are going to have to hear us like so much more often. So, but I'm sure we will have Ryan and Wally and tons of other guests on the show. Plenty. So hopefully it won't be boring.
So we got another comment from Jeremy, but y'all want to do that? We're outfield AAA. Who's more likely to get moved by 2025, Loperfido or Myers? They're not going to trade Loperfido.
Neither.
No shot.
Neither one. Yeah. In one year?
Neither. No. Neither. Neither.
By
2025 means during 24, they're both going to be in with the team unless something really strange happens.
Yep. Yeah, I could see that.
If I had to pick one, I would say Myers.
Yeah, I would say so too. I mean, he's farther along in his years and
gun to the head. I have to know.
So exactly. If I have to.
Depends on Pedro Leon. They don't have another center fielder, and Chaz is obviously not their
guy.
Faith in him at center field as a full-time guy. So yeah.
So this is my final thought. I know Walt saw it early because he commented on it. But you know the guy Dan Clark. I actually had a different final thought, but Steph said,
I'm blocked.
I can't do it. and we talked about Ohtani already, about everybody knows about some kind of gambling thing. I don't know. But anyway, Dan Clark, who loved getting hits and comments, likes, talking about the Astros cheating scandal.
Yep.
Yesterday, he said, a lot of people on here are speculating. They're speculating about Ohtani's lifestyle, his personality, and his personal relationships, etc. Of course, none of them have met him. So I responded, tell us how you met Jose Altuve before you started speculating.
Yeah.
Did
he block
you? No, he didn't respond.
Shocker.
He didn't block me yet either. I kept checking
me last year after I said something along those lines. I called him out on his crap.
And I can't take it.
I mean, you know, we are the public. We are going to have our speculations, and that's sometimes fortunate or unfortunate, as it may be, depending on what side you're rooting for, you know. But man, what a crazy thought. What a crazy
It's kind of like I told a supplier one time when he said that my company didn't have the expertise to make the decision. It's like, dude, it's all right to be wrong.
It's all right to be wrong. And it tickles my toes. We're at the hour mark. It always go. We don't even have that many topics, but
I know.
The people watching made the show longer. So we appreciate you guys.
We love it.
We can go back and thank you again. Bad Luck Brian, Jeremy W., Junior, Hudat Clarence. Thank you guys so, so very much for commenting. And thanks to everybody out there for tuning in to the – that's something else. All right, so thanks for tuning in to this episode of Astros Baseball, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.